Oh my gosh, I forgot to set the clock. I know my puppy dog wasn't up this morning. She's like, no, this is an hour early, man. I ain't moving. If y'all will look at the bulletin this morning, a couple of announcements. In your bulletin is... Yeah, I know. It's my picture. But there is church family and a communication social media. If you did not fill those out at the banquet that we had the other night, please make sure that you do. One, we're trying to update information. Under the social media, we want to make sure that we are effectively and timely communicating with the church body so that y'all have the information that you need. And if you'll fill that out, make sure you turn that in to one of the greeters when you leave. We'll compile all that information. Also, April 13th and 14th is a spring men's advance. It will be at the country camp in Columbus. It's going to be a great time if you're interested in being a part. Get with either Trey or Larry McKenzie or Pastor Dustin, and they will make sure that they will get you lined up. A lot of other information in the bulletin. Some of y'all did not attend the meeting, the business meeting on Friday night. We had wonderful, wonderful food. We had a wonderful guest speaker, and the church voted to go forward, and we're going to sign the papers tomorrow at 11 o'clock. So that we can begin to build the new building. So we're all excited about what God is going to do. Amen. Now, I got to tell you, church, it's going to be a walk of faith. Amen. You know, Pastor Reggie, you know, came and spoke about his church. Their church was $12 million is how much. And he said there were some good times in building it. There were some fearful times in building it. There were some challenging times in building it. But he said, what an awesome walk with the Lord all the way through. And one of the things that was funny, it's not funny, but to see how God works in the midst of this is that, you know, they ordered all their furniture. And when they got their furniture, 98% of their furniture, he said, was scratched and messed up. So they called back and talked to the people, and I think if I heard it right, either they cut the price or they were going to give him the furniture since it was such a half price, was it? Yeah, but he got such a deal to cut down the price of what they've done. So God is always in the midst of what we're doing, and I'm excited to see where God's going to take the church in the days to come. Amen. Well, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we come to you this morning. Father, one of the great things about our relationship with you is not so much if you're going to do it, but it's how you're going to accomplish what you said you're going to do. And Father, we are excited about what you're going to do. I don't have all the answers. We don't have all the answers, but you do. So, Father, we are grateful and we are gracious. And, Father, help us as we walk across to the other side. Father, give us ears to hear and eyes to see today. Give us a heart to receive. And I promise you, we will give you all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Some of y'all are doing this. Dolores, you were sweating like a poison pig up there just a minute ago. You know? Huh? Oh, okay. Well, that's why. Amen. Some of y'all are like this. So, Gil, can you like get between hot and cold? You turned it up one notch. Well, would somebody please give Miss Kim a blankie over there? Because she is cold. She's freezing. All right. Miss Kim, that's purple. That's a sign of royalty, okay? We just want to let you know how much we think of you, okay? Amen. If I said to you guys this morning, wait, how does that make you feel when someone says you have to wait? I think it's mixed feelings, it's mixed emotions. Sometimes, okay, I'm happy because I wait. Sometimes I'm not happy because I wait. But it's just it's a word that is just sometimes confusing and we don't understand. Look at Acts 1 and verse 4. It says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, you heard from me. Now, if you look at that passage, he gathered everybody together. He didn't ask them if they wanted to wait. He commanded them to stay in Jerusalem for what the Father had promised. Now, the word wait in the Greek comes from two words. Perai, which has the meaning all around. Meno has the meaning to be steady regardless of the obstacles involved. It means to endure, but it also means putting up with the surrounding difficulties. Okay? Now, if you look at Acts 1:4 and the prefix P-E-R-I, which is the peri, what I want you to see is the force or intensity of that word, meaning all around. Now think about what the 120 people in the upper room had gone through. You know, people had given up their lives to be with Jesus. The disciples gave up their jobs. They moved away from their family. They gave up everything that they had. Some of them saw the signs and the miracles. Some were literally a part of the signs and the miracles. And I think a lot of them had questions where there just seemed to be no answers whatsoever. I think there were times where there was fear, and I think there were times where they were absolutely amazed at what they saw. I think there were times of joy, and I think there were times of this indescribable sadness, and I think that there was times of just unbelievable disbelief, and I think there were times of inexplicable horror at the things that they saw. And if you look at the word wait, I think you begin to see now why God says, I want you to wait. Because again, how would you feel that you gave up your job to go follow somebody? You worked with him for 3 years, you lived with him, you ate with him. You know, you did everything with the person, and then all of a sudden, they're not there. The Lord knew what was going to happen. And the Lord specifically said to them, wait. In a matter of a couple days, they saw Jesus being arrested. They saw him beaten. They saw him crucified. They saw him die. They saw that he was buried. They saw his resurrection. And then they saw his ascension. And then all of a sudden, in the upper room, being filled with an unexplainable, undescribable, unbelievable infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit. And then If you look at the word wait, I don't think it even comes close to explaining what just happened. Now think about this. Jesus said wait, and he said wait because they had to be steady regardless of what was coming. This church has got to be steady regardless of what's coming. We're going to have to endure the good times. We're going to have to endure the bad times. We're going to have to endure the fearful times. We're going to have to just be excited when we see what God's going to do. But church, I got to tell you, it's going to be all around. If you think Satan is not going to be after this church, then I think there's such a misconception in your life. For the 120 that were in the upper room that day, their life would never be the same. And to wait meant that they were going to be given something that they did not have. Something that they would be able to hold on to so that they could endure. Something that they were going to be holding on to because of all the stuff that they were going to go through. They were going to have something that was going to help them be steady no matter what. And church, I'm telling you that Satan's going to come against this church with everything that he's got. But I'm also going to tell you this, that the word that I read says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. On the night of that banquet, so many people didn't show up because they were ill. And then in the midst of a pep talk from Reggie Devon, Satan took Benny Fortenberry. And Benny had a stroke in the midst of that meeting. Took him to the hospital. He's doing fine. He's mean and angry and ornery again. So we know he's doing better. But Satan is going to mess with us. And I'm telling you that you and I got to stay in prayer. You and I got to stay on our knees. But I also want you to understand that regardless, we have a God that will help us get to the other side. Amen. Now, here's what's really exciting about this story about waiting is the most unbelievable transfer that you will ever see. Jesus' ministry was going to be transferred to a group of misfits. Now, for 3 years, he had walked and talked and slept and ate and had fun with his disciples. And he gave them every tool that they needed. I got to tell you, church, every tool that you and I need is right in this book. Book wasn't written for them, but it sure is written for us. And now his ministry was going to be transferred to this group of misfits, and Jesus' ministry was now going to be their ministry. And I know a lot of people thought, who are they? He's a fisherman. He don't know nothing. He's a tax collector. People hate him. Ah, he's a failed doctor. He doesn't even practice anymore. But to accomplish what would needed, this group of misfits would need something that they didn't have, and what they didn't have was the Holy Spirit, and they didn't have his miraculous power. And now here's the great thing, church. The ministry that was transferred to the group of misfits, hold on to your seats, has now been transferred to another group of misfits, you and me. And I'm telling you, church, what they needed, we need. And we need the Holy Spirit, and we need to tap into His miraculous power to do what God has called us to do. Why do we want the power to go, "Ooh, look at me"? No, we want power so that it would be demonstrative. We want power to demonstrate to the unbeliever. See, Jesus had provided righteousness. Now, man had a right standing with God. And you think, wow, that is awesome. But church is bigger than that. If we have access to God, now you got access to the Holy Spirit. Amen. And if you got access to the Spirit, you got access to the power. And if you got access to the power, now you got access to the world. And if you got access to the world, now you can demonstrate to an unbelieving world about the power of the Holy Ghost in all of our lives. Jesus ushered in the kingdom of God. And He demonstrated, church, forgiveness. We said last week, we don't have the power to forgive. We don't have the power to love. We can't do those things without the power of the Spirit. I know that this would be difficult, but you know, there are people that are just unlovable. There's a few people that are just unforgivable. But when the Holy Spirit falls on you, He makes us look at ourselves. And He says, "I loved you. And if I loved you, why can't you love them? I've forgiven your nasty self. Why can't you forgive them nasty self?" And God gives us truly the tools that we need, and then He gives us His power. Jesus said, "All authority has been granted to me on heaven and earth, and I'm going to give it back to you guys." And now that mission was transferred to that group of misfits. And then that group of misfits have transferred that to us for one reason, so that you and I could go out into this world and demonstrate what forgiveness is, what unconditional love is, and the power of God to a world that just doesn't believe. Church, we are the witnesses. We're the conduit, like we talked about last week, between God and the people. We are the ones that will hold the hand and pull them out from the gates of hell. We are the ones that will lay our hands on the sick and pray that the power of God touches and restores. We're the one that will help the person that's been held in bondage because of drugs and alcohol, and we'll show them a different way. It's all because of the power of God. Now, the unbelievable and explainable, unexplainable power. I love this piece. You know, from the disciples to us, everybody was just mesmerized about what God did in the stories and to watch God's power. Think about this. Think about being Gideon. I love the story of Gideon. Gideon is about to go up against one of the greatest armies that are out there. Gideon's got another group of little misfits. He got a small army that really doesn't mean anything at all. And God says, "Here's what I want you to do." Now, if we were going to fight, I mean, my buddy here is about to go overseas. And if I told you, "Gil, here's what I want you to take. I want you to take you a couple lanterns and some clay pots. It's all going to be okay." Now, you're going to be going, "Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. You bring the lanterns and you take the clay pots. I'm bringing my big gun, okay? That's what I'm going to do. But Gideon went and he did what the Lord told him to do. And a small group of individuals that didn't have a lot of fighting experience fought this big army, and they fought them with clay pots and lanterns, but the power of God got involved and defeated those people, and it was awesome. And people are going, wow, the power of God is big.
Hallelujah.
Think about David. I mean, David killed a lion, killed a bear, killed a giant because he embraced the power of God. When he stood there and he looked at the obstacle that was in front of him, he goes, how dare you talk about my God?
Hallelujah.
And you and I got to sit down in the days to come when Satan comes against us to go, how dare you talk about my God that way? I'm going to put my God on you. And when the power of God comes against Satan, it's no match at all. The Red Sea, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel in the lion's den, the walls of Jericho. You know, Mike's aneurysm, Aubrey's leg, her healing, my embolism, your obstacle, whatever it is, it makes no difference, church. Each victory that we've had was because of the power of God that fell on our lives. And here's the great thing, church. Each one of us have the privilege to embrace the power and to embrace the Holy Spirit. Think about the encounter. Pentecost literally ushered in the Holy Spirit. And I thought this, it's not humanly possible to describe an encounter with God. There are no words that are out here that could adequately describe that encounter. You know, Luke used words like rushing wind and shaking buildings and descending fire and unknown language. He used all the words that he could have. But for those who have had an encounter with God, the only way, Mikey, I know how to describe it is go, you just had to be there. Because there are no words that will describe the encounter that you had. I've shared this with you guys before. The night that I got slain in the Spirit, if you guys would have told me that that was real, I would go, you have had some bad water that you drank. It was not good. And I shared the story. I got called to preach at a place. And when I got there, the pastor says, Pastor Keith, we got one small problem. The guy that we asked first, and I went, pow, asked first? What do you mean? I was the one. No, we'd ask a guy first, and, you know, he didn't show up, and, you know, I'm thinking, oh, man. Well, I was, like, filled with the Spirit that night. It wasn't the kind of Spirit that I met later on that evening. So they said, could you just make your message a little bit shorter? And I went, well, sure, I can do that. I don't even need to preach, okay? I don't need to. I'll take my toys and go home. So I did my little 10 minutes where I thought I was going to have about 40 minutes, but I did my 10 minutes. I sat down in the chair. The other pastor got up, and I'm telling you, church, he was preaching about attitudes. Okay, I had a small one, okay? I mean, there was an encounter with the Lord right then. And he began to speak about that, and after it was all over, lady calls both pastors, the one that really didn't get to speak and the one that did get to speak up, you know? And they began to speak in tongues, and I went, ooh. And I kind of felt some comfortability with it, and she comes up speaking in tongues, put her hands on my face. And down I went on the floor. And Ron Bass was with me, and I asked Ron, I said, Ron, what happened to me, man? Did I trip? He went, nope. I said, somebody pushed me down? He went, nope. I said, then tell me what happened. He said, you melted like a piece of butter.
Come on, hallelujah.
And I tell you, where I was laying was one of the most comfortable places I'd ever been. And I just got to tell you, man, when you have an encounter like that, there are no words to explain except you just needed to be there. Now, church, here's the change. I have used, I think, probably one of the most controversial phrases in biblical theology, once saved, always saved. Okay? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Amen. Old things have passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Now, church, when the Holy Spirit came down upon that 120 people in that upper room, they became new creatures in Christ. Now, they had a relationship with God. They had a relationship with Jesus. But I got to tell you that they became something that they were not when the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And that group was never the same. My prayer for everybody in this room is that you would have an encounter with what you've already got, which is the Holy Spirit. Now, not only did they have the fruit of the Spirit, they had the power of the Holy Spirit. And what used to be impossible was now going to be possible. And what used to be extraordinary was now just going to be normal. See, how would you guys like to be able to come in church, and when we get to see something, we go, wow, did you see that? How awesome! But we just come to church on Sunday morning, and that's just an expectation. That's just normal what would happen at New Harvest Christian Fellowship. Other churches go, man, did you know that that person was healed? We're going to go, that's just normal in our church. We embrace the power of the Holy Ghost. We lay our hands on the sick with faith, they're going to recover. We lay our hands on those that are filled with demons, and we believe that all the alcohol and the drugs and all that stuff is going to fall away. That's just a normality with us. And I can't imagine how awesome that would be. Now, church, either this is the greatest misunderstanding or the greatest satanic deception. But look at Acts 1:8 one more time. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, church, the Holy Spirit was not just for the 120. Who receives the power? You receive the power. Was that originally addressed to the disciples and that group? Yes. But we're disciples. And the Lord said, teach everything that I've taught to you guys. So we're the other group of misfits. And the power is for everyone who is willing, church, to be a conduit between God and a lost world. And for those who have access to God because of Christ, and for those who are willing to embrace the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And again, what used to be impossible, church, could be possible, and what used to be extraordinary could be normal if we would be willing to embrace what God has for the church. In the days of the disciples, the Holy Spirit had not come. After Pentecost, many who had believed had never even heard of the Holy Spirit. Today, the Holy Spirit is here. Because Jesus said, I'm going to leave with you the Holy Spirit because I am going to the Father. Now look at Luke 11 and verse 13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask?
Right,
and it's not a question about do you have it? It's a question about are you willing to embrace it? And if you're willing to embrace it, how much are you willing to ask God for? And if you ask Him for it all, you'll be filled from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And as Psalms 23 says, your cup overflows. Now here's a million-dollar question. How do you know when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? I promise you that some will act negatively about the whole process. Years ago, I would have been one of them. And I think some will be extremely skeptical of the experience. Look at 2 Timothy 3 and 7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. There's not one person in here, if you came from Catholic, Episcopalian, to Baptist, to Lutheran, whatever your denominational might be, that we have not heard of the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We've all heard. We've embraced God. We have embraced Jesus. We've talked about the Holy Ghost. Because we haven't embraced Him. We're afraid of Him. And again, people act negatively and skeptically because of some of the nonsense that goes on in churches today. And I got to be honest with you, that's one of the greatest fears that I had. When we began to embrace the Holy Spirit, we went to Mike Hogg's church. He had been Assembly of God. We had other people that came from Pentecost and Assembly, and we sat down and we talked. I've shared this with you. Mike McLean and myself went up to John Hagee's church. I said, man, I got no clue. I'm a Baptist boy. You know, we're just not used to any of these kinds of things. And we began to learn. I began to learn. In church, we need to know what the Bible says. And we need to be wise as serpents, gentle as a dove. But church, I got to tell you, if the Bible says it, and there is no doubt because we've talked before, you got to correctly understand the word. But if the Bible addresses it, whether we understand it or not, we still need to follow it. I don't understand all of it. I don't think we will ever understand the totality of God's word. I had coffee with a gentleman yesterday, and we talked about this, that this book is alive. You can read a passage today. I shared this with him yesterday. I've read this over and over and over in Psalms 91. The Bible says, I will give my angels charge over you to guard you in all of their ways. I've got that piece. And then it says, but they will pick you up with their hands. Mm-hmm. And I went, ooh, wait a minute. They will pick us up with their hands and carry us so that we do not stub our foot against a stone. Church, you cannot humanly put into words what happens. A supernatural encounter with God is going to take everybody in this room outside of your comfort zone. It will take you outside the small box mentality that so many of us live in. It's going to be an indescribable change that's going to take place in front of you. Your surroundings are going to come alive. And in your weakness, church, you're going to become strong. And what I love about this, when the Holy Spirit falls, He is going to give to you and provide to you astronomical opportunities to do things through the power of God. You don't fully understand what's going to happen, but you go, I know something's about to happen. And by faith, we just do what the Scripture tells us to do. When the Holy Spirit falls and there's a willingness to embrace and you're empowered with God's want to meet another person's need, I'm telling you that something supernatural is going to happen. And this is why. Because nothing, nothing can stay the same when you've had encounter with the God of God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can't stay the same. Give God a hand clap of praise.